21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus & Company. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for award-winning 21st Century Radio. Here's your host, Dr. Bob Hieronymus. My shoes are worn out. I'm walking down this same highway. I don't see nothing new, but I feel a lot of change. And I get the strangest feeling as I'm heading for the light.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. This is Dr. Bob Hieronymus. Our executive producer and research assistant is Laura Kortner, and our engineer is Charlie Hine. There go the traveling Wilburys. Well, after, nearly three decades of programming, we have a perpetual problem. We have over 200 books and authors who've been waiting to join us for years. And for that reason, we have begun to occasionally showcase some of the books and authors that I believe needed to be promoted. And tonight, we have three guests whose topics include life after death, so to speak, E.T. Chronicles, and how afterlife evidence validates Jesus Christ's teachings. We'll begin with Barry Eaton and his book, No Goodbyes, Life-Changing Insights from the Other Side by Torture Penguin Publishers, good friends of ours. Welcome to 21st Century Radio, Barry.
Oh, Bob, lovely to talk to you. Lovely to be on your program.
Well, you know, we've all heard near-death experience stories and wondered about what will happen after death. Barry, this is an extraordinary book you have here, No Goodbyes. And I think you're going to open the eyes to a lot of people. That's one of the reasons why we wanted you to come on this. Well, it's important.
Well, I like to be a bit iconoclastic at times.
Well, you're not the only one.
I know.
Well, anyway, Barry, I better introduce you as what you do. Barry Eaton is well known in his native Australia as a mainstream journalist and broadcaster, and for his internet radio show called Radio Out There. He gives regular talks and lectures as well as one-on-one sessions as a psychic intuitive, and his first book, Afterlife, was published by Torture Penguin in 2013, and I'm awfully sorry I have not read that book, but I'm awfully glad that I've read this one, Barry. Let's start with some questions here. You are a broadcaster and a journalist, which means you need to trust your sources. Where do you get your information from, and are these sources genuine?
Well, it's as genuine as I can ascertain that they are, Bob, because, I mean, nothing can be scientifically proved in a test tube about these things, but I've done a lot of research. I've got a lot of contacts from Spirit, and I've done many, many interviews over the course of my broadcasting career, particularly with the program Radio Out There. But I worked through a whole lot of very, very talented mediums connecting with the other side, including a trance medium who's put me in touch with somebody I knew and worked with many, many years ago, John Dingwall. And John was a famous film producer and scriptwriter here in Australia. He passed over in 2004. And came through in these transmedium sessions where he actually takes over the body of a transmedium and speaks through him. And the information that came out of that was amazing. I thought, boy, this guy's only been back over there since 2004, and he seems to be the font of all knowledge. But then I find out that he is actually what I call the spokes spirit for a whole group of spirits. There's about 95 to 100 of them in various levels in the afterlife, because it's not just one place. Just like in society on Earth, there are many, many different levels. So these people have got accumulated wisdom, knowledge, experience, and they pass that through him. And the analogy I was given by my guide, who prefers to be known as M, is the fact that, like a news anchor, when I was reading the news on radio and TV, then the source of information would come from many, many different areas and many different people. But it would be channeled through me as the on-screen or on-air presence. And this is exactly what's happening with John. So I've got this accumulated knowledge and wisdom of, 100 fantastic people over on the other side. So it's a smorgasbord, actually, Bob, a real smorgasbord.
And it sounds like there's a lot of good teamwork that goes on. in order to accomplish. In the past, and decades ago, they never talked about all the different beings working together on this. And that's one of the most important things, I think, about the other side. Because, there, as you know, there is so much fear of passing on. I think that's one of the things that your book and others that have been coming out recently really realize and point out, that really there is no death in the sense that we go on and on. We go on and on until we get up to a certain number of heavens, and maybe even beyond that. Now, you write about the afterlife, but does everybody go to the same place?
Well, essentially, but it's like saying that you get on an airplane and you fly over to Europe. You're going to the same place, but there are so many different areas within that space, and you go according to wherever your journey dictates, shall we say. But it's, as there are over 7 billion people on this planet with 7 billion unique stories, so there are many different situations as we pass back into the afterlife. The afterlife is our original home. It's the energy source, because we are essentially energy as opposed to a body. We've been taught over many, many years, oh, we are a body with a spirit. No, it's the other way around. We are actually a soul energy using the spirit as a vehicle, which then attaches itself to a body to have a human experience. So it's like our vehicle. Now, when the vehicle is old and tired, or the soul decides that, right, it's time to leave and go back home again, then the body dies. But the soul, being pure energy, doesn't die. Mm-hmm. And as you know, the law of physics says that energy cannot be destroyed. It can be transmuted, but it can't be destroyed. So it makes perfect sense to me that it would go back to where it came from. Call it the afterlife, call it heaven, paradise, the world of spirit. You know, there are many different labels for it.
What about hell?
Well, there is no such place, really. Not in the Dante-esque form that has been presented to us, you know, with little demons and a devil with a pitchfork and horns coming out of his head and tormenting people forever. No. But there are many, many different levels, as I said, in the afterlife. And you go to that area that your soul's vibration dictates that you go to, because the area in the afterlife vibrates at a much higher rate than we do here on the earth. So as the soul advances, so does the vibration level. So if you've been a particularly nasty, evil sort of a person, you can't expect to go off there and be over at in the higher realms, shall we say. You will go to an area, it's not hell, it is certainly in what we know as the lower astral. So you don't go there to be punished and tormented and demons sticking pitchforks into nasty parts of your body. You go there to be helped to understand what you've done to people and how you can move beyond this. Now, this may take, in terms of Earth years, a long, long time, but it is, you are given the opportunity in a loving way of being taught to understand what you have done, and then to come back in future incarnations to make amends and learn, and so grow your soul energy so that you can progress into the higher realms.
What about heaven? Is there just one heaven?
No. As I said before, you can use that word heaven, paradise, the afterlife, world of spirit. It's one huge, vast dimension of reality, but there are many, many different levels in it. And I equate it to, say, living in a large city. Now, you're in Baltimore, am I right?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, we are.
Now, if you look in Baltimore, it's one city, but there are many different areas relating to people's socioeconomic position or choice of living or whatever, or where they have attained in this particular lifetime, whether that's through their socioeconomic situation or what. It's the same over there. It's a vast area. Now, we can mix around with people in other areas, but just the same as we might live and our family live in a different suburb to us in the same city, they are totally different because of our different situations. And it's the same thing with the afterlife. It's vast. It's as I said, another dimension of reality. There are so many levels and sub-levels. It's hard to sort of get the human brain around this.
Well, that's one of the important things about your book. I think talking about the afterlife, Well, let's just get to the point where I know a lot of people are asking, where in the world is the afterlife? Is it another place?
Well, of course, it's not in the world, actually. But it does, from what I've been told, occupy essentially the same space that we are in. But as I said, it's a different dimension. So in effect, it is all around us. We obviously can't see it. It's vibrating at a much, much higher rate. But the afterlife in that dimension of reality is there. It's not sort of up there for heaven and down there for hell, as the popular belief system would have us accept. But the afterlife is this separate dimension which has its own existence, its own space, which just, I think, it extends further out than obviously where we are just on Earth. But it is around us and embracing what we know as the Earth.
Now, you note that with most deaths, there is a hidden gift as well as the grief that we experience. Now, what do you mean a hidden gift? And you know, one of the good things about this is you've had a lot of experience with this yourself. I've always valued having any experience rather than just someone talking about it. But you've gone through this yourself, haven't you?
Yes, I have, and I describe this particularly in my first book, Afterlife, where my late partner, Judy, passed over. We were only back together for 4 years, but she passed over rather tragically in 1997 and then came back through various forms of contact to me, urging me to write the book that I had to write, which turned out to be Afterlife. Now, this turned out to be the gift that she gave me. And it also exponentially increased my own abilities in the area of mediumship, where I can communicate with people on the other side as well. We all can. It's just that it's like anything. It's like a game of tennis. You know, you can stand there and maybe plop the ball over the net, but if you have a few lessons and you expand and your intention is to get better, well, yes, you can go on and become quite a reasonable player. It's the same thing with psychic and medium abilities. We've all got them. We just don't choose to recognize them, or we bury them, or we're too busy doing everything else in our life. But this was the gift that I was given, Bob, the gift of being able to realize that a very important part of my destiny is to be able to move in this area and write these books to help take the fear of so-called death away. Because as you said at the beginning, the people are quite often paralytic with fear about what's going to happen when I die. You know, they've really... It affects their whole life. And, of course, the other feeling that when somebody in our family or our circle of friends or whatever passes over, then we've lost them forever. Well, no, we haven't lost them forever. They're there. We can still contact them. We can still feel them around us. And a lot of people do feel their loved ones around them and get contact through things like dreams and, of course, working through mediums and things like that. But on the broader scale, people will get other gifts. That was my gift. But people will get a gift. They're usually so immersed in their grief that they don't always realize what that gift is. Sometimes it might be the gift of freedom if they've been with somebody who's had a terrible time passing and all of a sudden they've gone and their life changes. The person who's left behind, their life changes. They have freedom. They don't have to be going to a hospital 5 days, 6 days, 7 days a week or whatever. There are many, many different areas that we can get a gift. It doesn't have to be something in a will or an estate, but that too can be a gift. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be just that gift of really knowing and loving somebody, the gift of forgiveness. That happens a lot. So these gifts are many and various.
Well, I'm a little bit biased here, but I think your book is a gift. I think it's a gift to our planet. And that's one of the reasons why I'd like to see it sell about.
I'm sorry, can I ask you to say that again? My level in my telephone here is really low. I'm having a bit of trouble.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll speak it a little louder here. I just think this book is so important. This is the kind of book that could literally be in at least on a college level, at least. And perhaps... especially to any people that are, well, elderly especially, because the fear seems to grow considerably when one of their partners passes to the other side. That's why I think this book is so important. It is a gift. Congratulations.
Thanks, Bob. And that was the initial reason for writing Afterlife, and then No Goodbyes has gone on to provide a few more insights. But definitely, and if you would like to arrange me to get the book at the colleges and go and talk, I'd be only too happy to do that. But one of the best things I've found, most gratifying things, is that so many people have contacted me since I've written these books, saying not only has it helped them in their understanding of so-called life, or life after so-called death, but it's given them insights as to how they can improve their own life, how to make sure that they are developing and growing their soul. So when they do get over the other side, they can have maybe answers to their karmic and destiny problems and release some of this karma that they've built up around themselves. So it's a two-way street, really. It's not only understanding for yourself, as far as the fear of death is referred to, but also the fact that it can help the insights they're passing on. And that's what they want us to know, how various things are impacting us, because we're too busy in our own lifetime to even look at the things that are affecting us.
Well, we're not too busy right now to have an advertisement, and right after that particular advertisement, can we give a book away right now? Because I know our listeners are waiting to win this one. So, friends, if you'd like to win a free copy of the book that we're talking about, we will give you a chance right after the break. Our guest is Barry Eaton, No Goodbyes, Life-Changing Insights from the Other Side, Torture Peregrine, she has here, and I don't think that's correct, on the web at BarryEatonNoGoodbyes.com. Well, how would you like to win a free copy of the book we're talking about right now? No Goodbyes, Life-Changing Insights from the Other Side by Barry Eaton. Jeremy Tarcher Penguin. That's the publisher. Now, if you know the answer to this hour's quiz question, you will win it. Do you know who was my guest the last time I hosted 21st Century Radio? Just tell us who my guest was the last time I hosted 21st Century Radio, and you are going to be the winner. But you got to qualify. How do you do that? Here's how you do it.
If you know the answer to this hour's quiz question on 21st Century Radio, and you have not won from us in the last 60 days, call in now. 410-922-6680. That's 410-WCBM-680. First with the right answer wins. Prizes are available for you to pick up at the WCBM studios in Pikesville after Friday of this week. Winners have 60 days to pick up the prizes and must wait 60 days before winning another prize from 21st Century Radio. Good luck.
This is Carl Lehrberger, author of Secrets of Ancient America, www.newhistoryofamerica.com, and I invite you to continue listening 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Well, thank you, Brother Carl. Whoa, yes, indeed. I hope someone wins that in just a few minutes. No Goodbyes, Life-Changing Insights from the Other Side, Barry Eaton. This book belongs really, actually, not just in every college, but I think the last year of high school would be a darn good place to begin it. This, because I think the earlier we learn these things, I think the better. But I'm biased. I'm a very biased person in this area. The subtitle of No Goodbyes is Life-Changing Insights from the Other Side, What We Can Learn from Those in the Afterlife. Do you have a lot of influence? Do they have, that is, a lot of influence in our daily lives?
Well, they don't have a great deal of influence on an individual level, Bob. They're not allowed to sort of just come popping in and start dictating terms to us or pushing us in the right direction or whatever. These are our spirit helpers and advisors and whatever. We're here to make our own decisions. We've got destinies, we've got karma to work through and everything like that. We have to make our choices, and then we have to accept responsibility for them. But they are around us, and they're not around us all the time. Some mediums would have us believe that they are sort of dogging our footsteps, but no, that's not the case. So you don't have to worry that, you know, if you're having a row with your partner or you're having an intimate moment or whatever, that your grandmother's hanging around watching and listening. That doesn't happen. We have the privacy of whatever we would normally expect in our lives. But the people on the other side are there for us, and quite often we will ask to have them come and join us or whatever. We'll ask for help, and they can be around. And sometimes they can whisper guidance in our ear. But even if they, for instance, knew that we were going to be in a car crash, they wouldn't necessarily be able to say, don't drive that day, because we may need to be in that car crash as part of our karma. We may need to have those events happen to us one way or the other. As I said, everybody's got a different story, so it's very difficult to generalize on all of these things. But they are around us, they are communicating with us, and we can communicate with them.
Well, you write about destiny and free will. Is our life predestined?
Yep. Look, certain events are, from what I've been told, and I must emphasize that all the information in my books is my research, my findings, and I don't expect people to change their beliefs entirely just because I've said so. But if it resonates with you and if that information you feel is right, then please just accept it as such. But destiny is something that we all have a destiny. Sometimes we even have conflicting destinies within each lifetime. That can be very, very confusing. But we all have a destiny, and we reach certain destiny points at various times in each lifetime. But at that time, that's when free will comes into play. Now, for instance, you might be given a wonderful opportunity for a job or a relationship. But if you accept that job or you go into that relationship, your life will change accordingly. But it's still up to you whether or not you want to accept that opportunity. Now, that can be a destiny point in your life. And by even refusing that job offer, that will take you off in another different direction in your life. So each one of these destiny points, or it's like, as I said in my book, a plot point in a movie where things change because of what the hero does. Well, we're the hero in our own life story. So we have to make these choices and then live with them. But life is a combination of destiny points and also of these opportunities for us to be able to exercise our free will. My guide, M, was saying that if life was just pure free choice all the way along the line, the world would be in chaos. Well, I don't know about you, Bob, but I think there's enough chaos in the world right now, so we don't need any more.
Well, especially in this country today. Yeah, you hit that right on the head there. What important insights do those in spirit want to pass on to us, Barry?
Well, look, there's a list of them in my book. I've written several chapters, and one of them is particularly with the up-and-coming generation and you wanting to get this book into colleges and whatever, that might help, because they are very worried about the instant gratification society, and particularly in association with technology and the reliance on technology. And, I mean, we see it so often. You see a whole lot of young people sitting in a cafe or a restaurant or something, all busily staring into their telephones instead of having a conversation. This over-reliance on everything technological is becoming a bit of a problem, and they're trying to warn us that, you know, we have to keep a balance in life, and they're very concerned about what can happen. Other areas they're concerned with, they wanted to pass on, was GMOs, genetically modified organisms. We are really dabbling in areas that can be very dangerous.
Absolutely.
As far as genetically modified things are concerned in our food supplies. We can. The message I got is there could be mistakes made that could impact on the world's food supply. That's how vast the problem could be. Not is, but possibly could be. That's what they wanted us to know. So these are just two of the areas, but there are many others. The whole area around the power of negativity, for instance, they're very concerned about just how negativity can impact on all of us here, but also then we take it back into the afterlife with us. So there's still a very negative area. The afterlife is not just this wonderful, fluffy place where people get issued with a cloud and a harp and off you go. There's many, many different aspects of the afterlife, and there is still a lot of negativity from there. I was very surprised to hear that when John and the Spirit team told me that. But, you know, it's I've used that phrase, as above, so below, so many times in both of my books, and that is essentially the way it is. We are a reflection here of the afterlife or the world of spirit in many, many different ways.
Well, many people use mediums to communicate with loved ones in the afterlife. Is this always the best way to connect, and can we always trust these messages?
Yeah, that's a great question, because that was the other thing that John and the spirit team were warning against, is the fact that, yes, there are some wonderful mediums and some fantastic psychics around, but there are also a lot of charlatans around, people who do a weekend workshop and suddenly decide, gee, this could be an easy way to make a living, and go out there, and they can cause a huge amount of harm. So if you want to get in touch with somebody on the other side and you feel the need to use a medium, or you choose to use a medium, for heaven's sake, and I don't mean that as a pun, for heaven's sake, make sure that the person you're going to use is well recommended and has very good qualifications. And the only way you can do that, of course, is through word of mouth. But if you know friends and people like that that have used this particular person, whether it's a medium or a psychic, and you can feel trust with them, yeah, go ahead. But if you actually get in to work with these people and you're feeling this great, oh, my God, they're telling me a whole lot of rubbish here, my advice would be to get up and walk out.
Sure.
I certainly would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good advice.
I'm sorry, I just do not relate to any of that. Because you can take on this information, and that can have a ripple effect, and the ramifications can spread far and wide. So while it's a wonderful way of communicating, then it's something that needs to be done carefully. It's like selecting a garage mechanic. You don't just go to the first one you drive past, because they may end up completely ruining your motor car.
Yeah, I've had that problem. I think a few of
them. Haven't we all?
Yes, I think that's one of those tests that we all seem to go through. Reincarnation, do we all come back to Earth, or do our souls stay in the afterlife or go elsewhere?
Well, once again, it is a unique situation to each spirit. I mean, we reach a certain stage where, having had several lifetimes or many lifetimes, and we've balanced our karma, we've had every experience that is necessary or deemed necessary, we don't need to come back here. We might go on to other worlds, because there are other worlds and there are many other inhabited worlds. But there are also lots of new souls here. As you can imagine, with 7 billion plus people on the planet, there's a lot of new souls. We can't have all been here at one stage or other. So it depends on each individual. There can be new souls, there can be souls that are fairly young, and there can be what we term as old souls. And it is up to the individual soul, though, as to just what stage of development they have reached and where they go to from there. Mm-hmm. And also their advisory team, which I refer to as the Council of Elders, who are working with us from the other side, and they've helped us to be placed in each lifetime. They're like a management consultant company, really. They place us in various positions so we can achieve our destiny, make our mistakes, learn our lessons. And then when we come back again, we go through what we've done in each lifetime with them. It's like the end of a football game where the coach sits down with everybody and has a bit of an instant replay of the game. And then we analyze whether we won, we lost, whether we can do better next game, or what mistakes we made, how we can get them out of our system. And that's what the advisory committee does it on the other side as well.
Well, you quote a philosopher and spiritual teacher saying, quote, "The road is the goal, and that you are always on the road." What does that mean?
Well, I think it's people who, we can analyze that as people going off on a journey somewhere. They're thinking more about the destination of where they're going to head to, instead of looking at the journey along the way. Because what we are doing is, it's not just a destination. It's the experiences we have, it's the lessons we learn, the wonderful people we meet, the mistakes we make, the joy we have, the sadness we have. It's all part of what we are experiencing, and that's basically what it means.
Could you pronounce Sri, I can't read, the philosopher and spiritual teacher that said this, Maharaj at the end, but I cannot read Nisargadatta or something like that. I just wanted
to... Which page is that on?
Page 12.
Oh, page 12. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Let me have a little look here. Oh, that is... yes, I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's a long one, all right.
I think I'll have to buy the book and have a look at that one. Anyway, his name was Sri something or other Maharaj, and he went from 1897 through to 1981. He was a philosopher and spiritual teacher. And I chose that particular saying because it seemed to encapsulate everything that I wanted to get across in that particular chapter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well... Now, here I'm so glad you covered this in your book. What's the difference between soul and spirit?
Ah, now that's another lovely question. People quite often get the two mixed up. But the soul is that everlasting energy that we are. And the soul is part of the Creator's energy as well, if you like. So it's all the soul energy that is one vast part of the Creator. And the soul has its own vehicle, which is the spirit. The spirit then attaches itself to our body. And I was quite surprised to learn from my spirit team over there that the soul, or the spirit at least, attaches itself to the body at the heart level. But then when you think about it, we have so many references to heart and soul.
Yeah.
And the two of them go together. And people talk about putting their whole heart and soul into something or other. So that's basically the story about that.
Is the soul a higher vibration than spirit?
Good question. I don't think I can answer that one. I'll have to research that question.
Well, that's
good question, Bob. You've caught me.
Well, no, that's a tough question because it's I don't know if...
I'd never really thought about that. I would imagine that.
I know this, that the Rosicrucians teach that it is, but that doesn't make it necessarily so. I know, and I'm so glad that you discussed the difference between the soul and spirit, because that there are some very arrogant and sometimes very ignorant individuals who attempt to do what you can do. I just wish we would have had a little bit more time tonight, and I hope sometime in the future you'll be able to join us again, because it's work like yours that other people, over a long period of time, we all start standing on the shoulders of each other when some of us get it right and get to the point where we can share that kind of knowledge with others so that people do not fear this particular area of death.
Indeed.
I don't think I fear it, but I am so empathic, especially in regards to my loved ones and my wife. I don't necessarily, I'm not looking forward to passing on because of that aspect. But I'm sure I'll be a bit surprised when that happens again.
Oh, look, fair enough. Look, my intuitive feeling to your last question is that the two are the same vibration. But I'll check it up in the meantime. I'll have a consultation with my spirit team.
That's right.
If we speak again, please ask me the question. I'll have an answer for you.
Thank you very much. It's been a real joy having
you
with us.
Much.
And thank you
thank
for
you
joining
us. Thank you very much
us.
For inviting me. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
So did I. Thank you again. Book friends, Barry's book, Barry Eaton, you've got to get a copy of this book. No Goodbyes. Life-Changing Insights from the Other Side. Tarcher Penguin, a great publisher. I'm thinking right now about my dear friend right now, whose name has just escaped me. Horowitz, yes. We'll be talking to him again sometime soon. And we're going to take our break here, and when we return, we will come back and talk to you about myths that tell us about human origins and the E.T. Chronicles.